But in the last days it shall come to pass that the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established in the top of the mountains, and it shall be exalted above the hills, and people shall flow into it. And many nations shall come and say, come and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, and to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For the law shall go forth of Zion, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. And he shall judge among many people, and rebuke strong nations afar off, and they shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up a sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. But they shall sit every man under his vine and under his fig tree, and none shall make them afraid. For the mouth of the Lord of hosts hath spoken it. For all people will walk every one in the name of his God, and we will walk in the name of the Lord our God forever and ever. In that day, saith the Lord, will I assemble her that halteth, and I will gather her that is driven out, and her that I have afflicted. And I will make her that halted a remnant, and her that was cast far off a strong nation. And the Lord shall reign over them in Mount Zion from henceforth even forever. And thou, O tower of the flock, the stronghold of the daughter of Zion, unto thee shall it come, even the first dominion, the kingdom shall come to the daughter of Jerusalem. Now why dost thou cry out aloud? Is there no king in thee? Is thy counselor perished? For pangs have taken thee as a woman in travail. Be in pain and labor to bring forth, O daughter of Zion, like a woman in travail. For now shalt thou go forth out of the city, and thou shalt dwell in the field. And thou shalt go even to Babylon. There shalt thou be delivered. There the Lord shall redeem thee from the hand of thine enemies. Now also many nations are gathered against thee, that say, let her be defiled, and let our eye look upon Zion. But they know not the thoughts of the Lord, neither understand they his counsel. For he shall gather them as the sheaves into the floor. Arise and thresh, O daughter of Zion, for I will make thine horn iron, and I will make thy hoofs brass. And thou shalt beat in pieces many people. And I will consecrate their gain unto the Lord, and their substance unto the Lord of the whole earth. Amen. So, if you notice the context, as we were saying, we did have several points already established. Number one, we see a promised kingdom. A promised kingdom, verses 1 to 8. We did cover this. But remember, this is the kingdom of the millennium. This is the coming kingdom of Christ, of the Messiah, when he returns. That's what he's talking about. In verse 1, it says, in the last days. And then it's talking about the nations in verse 2. Many nations shall come and say, come and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord. So think about that. All the nations are going to desire to worship the Lord in Jerusalem. That's what's going to happen in the future. And so we said, number one, letter A, Jerusalem will be exalted, verse 1. Letter B, Jerusalem will be the religious capital of the world. That's where those who love the Lord will worship. And also in the same verse it says that when they go up to the house of the Lord, he will teach us of his ways. We will walk in his paths, for the law shall go forth of Zion. Meaning it will be a legislative capital of the world. Letter C. This is where the law of God is going to rule over the whole earth. And then verse 3. And he shall judge among many people. meaning letter D, Jerusalem will be the judicial capital of the world. Judicial. So God's going to judge right from his, the Lord is going to judge from his throne there in Mount Zion. I like the rest of verse 3. It's going to be a lot different than what we're seeing right now in the news, right? Everyone is wondering what's going to happen, right? And to no thanks of our own president for saying Armageddon, which is not going to happen right now. Even other nations are kind of saying, why did you say that? You know, other leaders are like, why are you bringing up Armageddon? Because anything that happens will be local in that area, not worldwide, okay? And so we see that in the when the Lord comes back, they're going to have no more weapons of war. Isn't that going to be nice? Unlike today, unlike right now, what we see in Ukraine. And to tell you the truth, our eyes are on Ukraine, but if you just Google wars, current wars on the earth, you'd be astounded of how many wars are going on all over the world right now, which is crazy. I understand that, but that's the heart, the sinful heart of man. And now you know why the Antichrist will be so desirable, you know, a man that's so accepted, because he's going to be able to bring that a solution, you know, a worldly solution to the current problems. Everyone, oh, wow, this must be the Christ. Anyway, we see here the blessing that Jesus is going to bring. And we do know that that's the only solution to the world's problems, is Jesus Christ. And, you know, when the election comes, and I know I believe in voting. You should get out to vote. You should register to vote if you're of age. And do your duty, civil duties. That's important as a citizen. And I believe in that. I believe it's right. But the point is, even if we win a majority, or if we have this and that for the next 2 years, or maybe even win the next presidential election, and conservatives and so on for the next 4 years, it's only a short amount of time until the inevitable. And just read your Bible, the inevitable. And we're moving towards the inevitable, that Jesus is coming back. That's the only answer to life's problems, is Jesus Christ. And to this earth's problems is Jesus Christ. And no man, no government, no election is going to fix the sinful heart of man. Only Jesus Christ. Amen. And I think our government was built on this, the ability to self-govern your own body and your own individual life. And if you can't do that and you lost all morality, it doesn't matter what laws are on the books. We already know that, because the laws are on the books, but they don't enforce them. All right, let's get back to the Bible. Amen. The Bible speaks to us today. That's all I know. Amen. And I'm enjoying reading this chapter. Letter D, Jerusalem will be the judicial capital of the world. Thankfully, amen. And that law will be, well, we could read other passages. People will obey in that day. Amen. Jerusalem will be, or letter E, the nations will disarm and disband their military forces. Amen. Amen. Praise God for that. And verse 4, but they shall sit every man under his vine and under his fig tree, and none shall make them afraid, So here you are. Here's the picture. Everyone is sitting under their shade tree, just enjoying life, enjoying the blessings of God in peace and safety without any issues, without any anxiety or fear. Wow, I'm looking forward to that, amen. I hope you are too. So the people of the earth will live in perfect peace and security, letter F. Wow, there's a lot here, isn't there? Letter G. True believers will walk, live in perfect fellowship with the Lord. Perfect fellowship with the Lord. We will, it says in verse 5, we will walk in the name of the Lord, our God, forever and ever. And so you think of the false gods that dragged down Israel. That will no longer happen. They will no longer be unfaithful. And that's what the statement of verse number 5 is all about. Verse 6, letter H. Israel's lame, outcast, and afflicted will return from exile, be regathered by the Lord. Verses 6 and 7. So God's going to regather Israel. And we talked about that 1948. Did you look that up, brother? He likes it so much that it's on the day he's born. So he remembers it well. Huh?
I think I'm correct. I was there.
They tell you you were there. You were not another John the Baptist filled with the Spirit in your mother's womb. So that only happened to John the Baptist. Amen. So we do know, we see this. And isn't that amazing? That regathering. And that's why that was such a historical event, and everyone's eyes have been on Israel ever since because of the promises of God being fulfilled. Another promise. Now, the regathering is going to be all Jews of all everywhere on the earth. And you can imagine what that's going to look like. Amen. And then letter I, verse 8. Under the rule of the Messiah, Jerusalem will have her former dominion. That's the authority and territory that's restored. It's going to be back like the kingship of David, the dominion and kingship of David. Verse 8. Oh, and thou, O tower of the flock, the stronghold of the daughter of Zion, and unto thee it shall come, even the first dominion. Amen. That first dominion, the kingdom shall come to the daughter of Jerusalem. So we thank the Lord. Remember all the kings that were good. Remember how did it? They walked according to the ways of King David. You know, that's how they were judged, whether they were good. If they were good kings, then they walked according to how David walked. And David was a man after God's own heart. And so that's what it's going to be returned to, that godly reign. But Jesus is going to be the one. Remember, he's promised the throne of David. So that's going to be the fulfillment. And you have many passages. So now we're moving on to verses 9 and 10. This will bring us up to date today. Number 2, a promised deliverance. Not only a promised kingdom, there's a promised deliverance. Israel was in need of deliverance. And still is, amen? So, verse 8. And thou, O tower of the flock, the stronghold of the daughter of Zion, unto thee it shall come, even the first dominion of the kingdom shall come to the daughter of Jerusalem. I think it's verses 9 and 10, and I don't know why I just read 8. Verse 9. Now Why dost thou cry out aloud? Is there no king in thee? Is thy counselor perished? For pangs have taken thee as a woman in travail. Be in pain and labor to bring forth, O daughter of Zion, like a woman in travail. For now shalt thou go forth out of the city, and thou shalt dwell in the field. Thou shalt go even to Babylon. There shalt thou be delivered. There the Lord shall redeem thee from the hand of thine enemies. So we do know that God was speaking to their current situation. And he was predicting, letter A, the people had no righteous leader or counselor, meaning they had no king. They had no righteous leader or counselor. They had no king at that time, verse 9. And we do know that the kings were lost when they were taken in captivity. They enslaved the people and the kings. They dethroned the kings of Jerusalem and Judah. And so he's predicting this. This is something that's still going to happen to kings Jehoiakim and Zedekiah. He saw that. God said, here, speak to the people. This is what's going to happen. And we know that they were taken captive by Nebuchadnezzar in exile to Babylon. And remember, in the evening services, we're still in the book of Nehemiah. And that's when they returned from that captivity and started rebuilding the temple. They rebuilt the temple and the city and the walls of Jerusalem. Amen. And we're learning, kind of wrap, it's getting to the end of those books, amazingly. But we're getting there. And so they were at the beginning of that. They were still this side of that captivity. And there, this was a prediction, a prophecy by God given to Micah. And can you imagine how the people felt when this happened, because they knew all these promises were given to David and that his throne would be forever. So could you imagine when they saw that there was no king? They're like, I thought we had a promise here. And God did not, his plan, he knew his plan, and it wasn't in any way affected by this, amen. But in the people's eyes, the king, right, was a sign of God's provision and protection. And so the people, that's what he's saying, you're without a king, you're without a counselor, you have no shepherd over you anymore. So, that's what they felt. Letter B, the people would be in agony like a woman in labor. That's what it's talking about, travail, a woman in labor. And it really is a picture of physical pain that they did suffer in that captivity. But it was mental, emotional, and psychological distress because so many evil things happened because their supply lines were cut off and basically they did things that you wouldn't even imagine, like eating human flesh. And so it was a terrible, terrible, terrible day in the history of these of Judah in Jerusalem. So that's why the picture is as a woman in travails. But Micah also, letter C, foresaw the horror of the judgment that was coming. And he's talking about them being taken. It's very clear here. thou shalt go even to Babylon. So he is... It's amazing because Babylon wasn't even the strongest nation of that time. Assyria was still dominant and in power. So this is a prediction even of the kingdom to come right after Assyrians would be Babylon. And so God, foreseeing this, talks about this. And we know that prior to being deported, you have to remember they were going to be taken out of the city, right? And then they would probably be in encampments in the fields before their deportation. So you see what's going on here. He says, thou shalt dwell in the field, he says. Thou shalt go out of the city, thou shalt dwell in the field. So it's a picture of the city being destroyed and people living out in the fields waiting for their deportation to Babylon. They would be in refugee camps. So there would be no protection. There would be no relief from that, from their enemies. And their pain and suffering would be as great as that as a woman in travail, in labor, pain. Letter D. Despite all that was working against God's people, the Lord would once again step in to offer hope. Isn't that our God? Amen? He brings hope in a situation where there's only despair. So what did the Lord promise here? The Lord promised to rescue and redeem his people from Babylon in the same verse. Isn't that a wonderful thing? Thou shalt be delivered. There the Lord shall redeem thee from the hand of thine enemies. The last part of verse 10. So the Lord is going to bring them back from captivity. And it's a wonderful picture there of Boaz and Ruth in the book of Ruth, the kinsman redeemer. That's kind of the picture of what's going on here. The family protector, the one who rescues a family member from distress. And that's what God was going to do to his family. Amen. His kinsmen, his children. He's going to redeem them from the enemies. Just as Boaz did with Ruth. And so we are reading our history. After the fact, we know the apple of God's eye. Amen. So it says, verse 11, now also many nations are gathered against thee. Is that still happening? Yes. That say, let her be defiled, and let her eye look upon Zion. But they know not the thoughts of the Lord. Let's remember that. Do the people today understand God's plan? No. You just wonder, even some politicians, they're doing these policies towards Israel and they probably don't even know why they're doing them. Biblically, they have no biblical grounds because they probably don't even understand the Bible. I think originally, leaders and those who pushed for support of Israel understood the Word of God. Don't get me wrong, but today, it's like it's just another policy. We better not break it, you know. It's tradition. It's precedent. So let's just keep doing this. They know not the thoughts of the Lord, neither understand they his counsel. I can predict it more than a Babylonian conquest. This is looking beyond that, amen. Because we're talking about the nations, many nations. So this looks beyond just Babylon. And we know Babylon was not the last attack on Israel. How many still try to mobilize against Israel to destroy her, to defile her? It is. Obviously, you know that prophecy often had that near application. This is happening now. But it also had that future application of God's, of the coming of Christ and that second kingdom, the kingdom of Christ and the second coming. And that's kind of what we're seeing. Yes, it was a promise. Wow, we're going to have victory here. But they didn't understand, wow, we're going to have victory in the end. You know, what a kingdom it's going to be. So God is laying this out for them. We see that King Sennacherib, Assyrian army, King Nebuchadnezzar, his Babylonian army, and we know that they were defeated. Amen? That's the near application. But then we see that other nations are going to try to attack Israel during the Great Tribulation. And so we see this in the book of Revelation, chapter 16, and some of these other prophecies that are referring to that day, the future. So Micah predicted more than the Babylonian conquest, letter A. B, these nations will be ignorant of God's plan, as we read. They know not the thoughts of the Lord. God has the ultimate destruction in mind of these evil nations. He will use their own evil plans against them. He will gather them to be destroyed like sheaves on a threshing floor. He will empower Israel to trample on and crush all enemy nations. This is the final battle, a picture of the final battle between good and evil. And remember, what God, what man intends for evil, God intends for good. Amen. The wicked nations of the world will make one last attempt to destroy God's precious people. They will foolishly gather an attempt to destroy Israel and God's people. But they will be unaware of God's plans, because as they're gathering, God wants them to do that. But they don't know that he's gathering them together for his purpose. That's their final destruction. The evil nations do not understand that the Lord is in full control. That's what it's talking about here. They know not the thoughts of the Lord, verse 12. Neither understand his counsel. For he shall gather them. Amen. They think, all right, let's arm ourselves together and go, you know, we'll be affiliated together and we'll have more strength and we'll defeat Israel. And God says, no, I'm just gathering you for your final destruction. So we thank the Lord for what God's future plan is. And then let her see, the people of Israel will give the wealth of these nations to the Lord. They will take the spoils of war, devote them to God. This is both poetic and divine justice. All the wealth these nations have accumulated without thought of God will be given to God. All the riches acquired illegally and improperly, built up or hoarded out of greed and in defiance to the Lord and his laws, will be devoted to the Lord of all the earth. Amen. The Lord will not only receive glory and honor through these gifts, but will also use the wealth for good rather than evil. This is how the Lord redeems all things. All things. In conclusion to our lesson today, Israel has had many enemies throughout her long history. Numerous nations have attempted to destroy God's chosen people. Yet all of these attempts have been in vain. Likewise, all future attempts will be in vain. God has sworn by his own name that he will redeem, restore, and protect his beloved people. And nation of Israel's enemies will be totally destroyed. Once again, the prophet looked down the centuries to the end times and saw his people being attacked by many Gentile nations, all of them gloating over Israel because they are so sure defeating the Jews. This is talked about in Zechariah chapter 12 and 14. The nations are sure of victory because they ignore Scripture. They don't know God's plans for His people. Israel will look weak and defenseless, but the Lord will make their soldiers sharp, threshing instruments to harvest the nations. Revelation 14. God will give them horns, a symbol of power, and hoofs, so that they will have both power and speed as they attack their enemies. This great battle is usually called the Battle of Armageddon. Joe Biden, amen. Revelation 16 and 19. When the battle is over, the victorious Jewish army will devote all the spoils to the service of the Lord. And we are thankful. And as I mentioned, so much of what we teach through the minor prophets is judgment. But in this chapter, we see God's glorious kingdom that's coming, the glorious conquest, and the glorious deliverance of His people. Amen. And this should bring us hope of what lies ahead for us. We're not Israel, but God has engrafted us in. Amen. Romans 9 to 11, and the time of the Gentiles is now, and God is using us and the church. You know, that's not talking about the church here. That's talking about Israel. It was their present history and their future history being talked about. But the church age is now. And all of the believers that are gathered in now also will be in that kingdom with Israel and the Lord Jesus Christ. That is clearly taught in the New Testament. Remember our prophecy series? I think we focused a lot on the New Testament during that series of messages. So thank the Lord for all these blessings. And I hope today that encourages your heart. Remember, no matter what we read, no matter what's going on in the earth, no matter what's in the news. And I like what Brother Cloud, if you ever read the last paragraph of every one of his Friday church news, is that, you know, yes, the night is far spent. And, you know, the Lord is coming. Awake to righteousness. But we know the victory is on our side. We know the glorious kingdom is coming. We know Jesus is returning for us. Amen. So there's nothing to worry about. And that's why we had everything in perspective in the news and what's going on in the world. Jesus is still on the throne. Jesus is still ruling and reigning. Jesus is still promised His kingdom. He's still coming back right on time to redeem His people and take them out of here. Amen. So let's be encouraged by this wonderful chapter. All right, let's close in prayer.